Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Do you think that Shelty would ever go to the double barrel model?
The double barrel model?
Yeah, where you take the right fielder out and put two pitchers on the mound. You got a lefty and a righty. So you've got the ideal matchup regardless of who comes up to the plate.
Billy, are you high?
Does he mean he has the, like they did the with pitcher, Tate that time, like, where they had him out in right field, yeah, so they had both guys in the game?
That's the only thing I could think of. I thought that was basically outlawed.
Here's Carl in Carnegie. Hello, Carl.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
Good.
Good, man. About Cruz, I mean, three errors, you know, against the Astros. I mean,
in one game.
I mean, it happens, you know.
Does
it? 100-some games, a mistake can happen.
Three of them, though? He made two on one play. That's hard to do.
He also has the most in baseball, Carl.
So, what do you guys feel about our chances on stealing one of those wild card spots? Now, what if he redeems himself and helps us get to one of those wild card spots?
They have no chance.
He absolutely could.
They have no chance to win a wild card spot if he doesn't hit the ball very well.
I don't rule that out at all. I think he absolutely could help them because he's that type of hitter.
And he's been hitting that way for the majority of, you know, the last 2 months.
But this is going to sound, I mean, I've given up on Rowdy Tellez and been wrong. I've given up on Michael A. Taylor, and the guy had a great July. I have no hope for Hayes. And I know what he did last August and last September, and that's got to be what the Pirates are thinking he's on the precipice of. But I see, like, no sign.
It's
not like a tough luck situation where, you know what, guy's putting the ball in play, he's just hitting at him balls, lining balls right at people.
He's not doing that. He gets a good number of pitches thrown pretty much over the heart of the plate to him because I don't think opposing pitchers think that anything
bad.
Would you? Yes, I would challenge him every time. And you know what he does?
I'd rent a limo to get him to the game so he could be in the lineup if I were an opposing pitcher.
Who was the guy who did that to his opposing players? He'd be like, make sure he has a great time while he's here. I want him to be very rested because
yes.
I can't wait to bust him up.
I don't know who did that, but that's what I would want. My God, if I were Fat, who's pitching for Arizona on Friday, I hope when I got to the ballpark I saw Key Brian Hayes' name penciled in the lineup, and I want him hitting like fifth or sixth.
He
get extra shots at him.
Nothing about his swing.
He blows.
Nothing about his swing looks dangerous. It's long. It's loopy. You know what else I don't like about it? This is going to sound like a little inside
Everything?
Baseball thing. Yes, but you know what I notice with him that you don't notice with guys who are hitting the ball well? Does he ever like swing at a pitch, foul it off, Pony, and then look like he's on balance at all? He has more pitches that he'll foul off, and it looks like he's almost falling over because he's all over the place with his footwork. That's like a golf swing where you hit the ball, and if you're not Scottie Scheffler, you're a mess. He never looks like he's just dug in, swinging, and finishing with conviction.
Here's our guy Tom in Monroeville. Hello, Tom.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Tom, do you have a sixth sense where you can tell if O'Neal Cruz is high when he plays? Do you have that ability?
No, because I'm usually high, so it doesn't make any difference. No, I'm teasing.
What do you got for us?
I just got a couple of comments.
Sure.
First of all, about Hayes, I think there's more to the physical side and the mental side. I'm not sure Hayes really wants to be in Pittsburgh. That's it. That's the vibe.
Zan Grilli's brought that up. He thought the same thing. He said he's not sure he's
committed to the idea of like being a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Yep, exactly, Tom.
That's my impression. And as far as Cruz, I love the guy in many ways, but sometimes he gets into a mental fog or funk, and he concentrates so much on hitting the ball at 113, 120 miles per hour that he forgets sometimes that a base hit to left field will work just as well.
Well, what I don't want is the defensive mistakes to carry over to the plate with him.
I think they do.
And I think it does, and Neil Walker brought that up last night, and thanks for the call, Tom.
I also think it's a vicious circle with him because I think the plate struggles carried back over into the field.
So that's why my preference would be to get him a lower pressurized defensive position so he can just mainly concentrate on being a really good hitter and not having to try to do something that has never been done in baseball history, which is make a man that big who looks like he could be an NBA small forward and try to turn him into a shortstop. I was open-minded to it, but I just think the results have been bad enough where with a clean slate in the offseason, you try to move him somewhere else. Here is our guy Tom at Valley Brook. Hello, Tom.
Hey, hi, guys. How are you? You know what? I agree with all three of you. I think that Hayes is, I mean, he just does not have power. It has to
Tom,
be
I saw
fast.
You at Valley Brook. I think you could get out there and have a better showing for yourself.
That's right. Every time he gets up, it's like, you know, he just is terrible. The thing with Cruz is I just started listening to you guys about 15 minutes ago.
Yep.
I want to say kudos to Joe Block. I was listening on the radio last night driving home from Valley Brook, and he about lost his mind.
Yes, he did. But he was right to.
Oh, absolutely he was. And I just want to say it's about time that an announcer lost it like he does. Like, well, you know, what is he doing?
I agree. And I thought on the TV side, and no disrespect to Greg Brown and Kevin Young.
They were very muted about it.
But they were talking about crowd noise being a factor there. They're blaming the Astros fans for...
Yeah.
Being at fever pitch.
I thought Brownie, if anybody, would be more, because he has called Cruz out, but I guess lately he's been pretty bullish on O'Neal Cruz. Greg has.
Well, then he also gave Hayes a pass for that play the other day by saying that it was the bad infield there and not bad glove
work. Yeah, they were stumbling all over the place. They said bad infield, bad grass. I wonder if Joe, our caller, has anything to say about grass. Mm. You know what I was thinking about with Hayes' swing? I just realized it. We had Pomp say this about Joey Bart. It's the John Rahm of baseball swings. Ke'Bryan Hayes is like the Zen opposite to Joey Bart. A long, loopy, completely devoid of power baseball swing.
Let's see if our boy Block lost his mind on the Bart home run, because that was hit an absolute mile last night.
Here's the pitch. Swing high, fly ball, deep left field. Alvarez doesn't bother to turn around. Joey Bart hits it way out of here. And I mean out of here. What a home run for Joey Bart. About as far as you can hit a ball to straightaway left field, and it's 2-0.
A little bit of an understated block there.
They tape measured
that
thing.
I heard a silly block. He's like, oh, look at that. Wow. I thought he might have, because it was hit
a ton
over the railroad tracks there. I thought he might have lost his gourd on that one too, but apparently
did
not.
Did they only tape measure that thing at like 403 or something goofy like that? What did it actually get listed at? He hit that ball 450 feet if he hit it a foot.
Sure seemed like it. I know they've got that short left field porch there, but my God, was that hit all the way up there. Bartman.
He might be a fine dude.
Absolutely.
He might be a legit fine.
That's a great pickup by Charrington, and it's really making you wonder about Henry Davis's future with the Pirates, huh?
If this was a football team where everyone calls him QB1, wide receiver 1, I think Bart is C1 now.
And Grandel Skeens is catcher, so there really isn't a spot for Davis.
Maybe they could try Davis as shortstop. Move Cruz somewhere else. Come on.
No, I like it. I'm just trying to figure out who I want to go to next year. Here is John on the fan. Hello, John. Johnny there?
Oh, okay. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Okay. I agree with you guys about, Hayes. I'm tired of that loopy swing of soft contact now. Cruz, might have heard you guys say earlier, but he leads the league with 20 errors. He has a 938 fielding percentage. Nobody's mentioned McCutcheon. He batted 200 in July, and he's only had one good month in May. And I'm surprised with the record with all that going on with them.
Move Cruz to DH and have someone else play shortstop?
I don't know. They're not going to do anything to Cutch. He'll come back next year if he wants to. I just think he's part of the problem, too.
John, it sounds like you have a very depressing outlook on the Pirates.
I'm good. I'm 68 years old. I've seen it all.
All right, thanks.
What's going on today, man? I've seen it all. I've been everywhere.
Do you
man.
Think we're bringing this out of?
I don't colors? Know.
I think it was. I think Joe's call about. I can tell when I have two skills in life. I can tell when a guy has a low baseball IQ, and I can tell when O'Neill Cruz specifically is playing high.
He would not necessarily that call right there, but I mean, it sounds like there's some that started the weekend a little bit early on us.
I think that John who said that he could tell when he was high? What was the guy's name?
Joe.
He would have fit right in with those A scouts in the Moneyball movie.
Now, Billy, great, you know, physical talents there, but one thing, I can tell when the guy's high every single time, Billy. Loves the weed.
R.I.P. Jeremy Giambi. You know he loves the weed and the casinos and the strip clubs.
Exactly.
Ugly girlfriend.
That guy.
No self-confidence.
He would have fit right in with those A scouts. That's a great movie. Has Sonny seen Moneyball?
No
Donnie,
way.
Donnie, have you seen Moneyball? Come on, Sonny.
Sonny's a big hockey jersey guy, and apparently there's like one of those sales going on today, and he has been like
has he gotten any
riveted?
Done?
Oh, I don't know if it was today. He brought up something next week. He was like a pig in slop about it, though.
Yeah, he. I saw him on the laptop, and he was going, look at this thing. Look
I'll
at that
I'll tell you
thing.
What. Him watching the NHL Network is like me back in seventh grade trying to watch the Spice Channel.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew it was going
to
be the
when you
Spice
put the
Channel.
NHL Network on, you want to see Sonny come to life. Ugh.
He does.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yes, he does. He's riveted. I never once watched 1 second of the Spice Channel.
No?
Well, because I didn't have cable.
Yeah, true.
And I think by the time, like, we got cable, there were other means.
Sonny pops in and he's like, what's this?
And you're like, it's Avalanche Red Wings 1996, the Chris Draper game. He goes, oh, hold on, settles in, lights a cigarette.
I mean, we do the same stuff with all the old football games. I had a freaking Hall of Fame game on back there today.
Yeah, we're one to talk. You're
Pony
right.
Walks in, it's Giants 41, Vikings nothing in the 2000 NFC title game. He starts tugging at his collar all weird.
You're right. I'm definitely calling the kettle black here with Sonny. Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. I don't think there's a better guest to have on next. We're going to get Jordy Mercer's take on what happened with Cruz last night. And whether or not he's a long-term fit at shortstop. But first, a Donnie headline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
At 4:15, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Donnie Football Debrief is 15 minutes away. Ray Fittipaldo with a live report from La Trobe, day 7 of Steelers training camp at 5:15, excuse me. And then after that, the Total Request Thursday segment. All right, very excited for our next guest because he played shortstop for the Pirates on really good teams. So he's got an expert opinion on what we watched last night with O'Neal Cruz, and that is former Bucko, Jordy Mercer joining us. You can see him up on our YouTube channel too. Donnie was saying before we brought him up that he has like a sports ticker in his man cave that's giving him live updates on games. Is that true?
I do. Yeah, that was one of my main things that I always wanted growing up was a sports ticker. I thought those were so cool. So yeah, it gives me live updates, basically 24/7.
What is the game of choice, the like man cave game of choice? Is there foosball in there, shuffleboard, anything like
arcade?
That darts? Yeah, what do we have, like an NBA jam console?
Cool. So I've always been
golden tee.
I don't have it. Yes, golden tee. I've always loved that, but I don't have it. I'm more of an Xbox guy, so college football just came out, so I've been playing.
How you doing with that?
You taking the pokes right to the title every year here? You losing guys to NIL?
It's like
T-Boone
Pickens is back. They're paying NIL like you can't believe for Jordan.
That's right. Hey, we got money flowing everywhere. You know how that works, boys. Come on.
All right, Jordy, let's go back to the play last night in left field. Joe Block and Neil Walker just about lost their minds on it. What the heck happened there?
Yeah, to me, I just feel like he tried too much, really. I mean, that was the key for me. It looked like Brian was right there underneath it, ready to roll, and then he came out of nowhere, O'Neal did, and then he compounded again with the throw because it was a little of a panic situation, what happened. So we actually made two errors in one, which was a big costly mistake. But I've talked about this multiple times. I think it's just the experience. I mean, it's the games played. It's your knowing your surroundings. I think that's where that play came in. He's relatively young, man. He's been hurt quite a bit. You know, I know he's been in the big leagues for a little bit, but he's still been hurt. He hadn't played many games. And I think that was the kicker for me for that play in particular. He just felt like he wanted to do too much. Now, I think sometimes when you're so talented and you think you can make every play, you get in the way of yourself a little bit, and then you cost some runs on you.
Jordy, I'll cut right to the chase with this then, and I don't know how much you're able to see him game in and game out, but given what you've seen of O'Neal Cruz, we know the physical talent's there. You played the position. Can he stick long-term in the bigs at shortstop, in your opinion?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't. We're such an uncharted territory being 6'7", right?
Yep.
I think that's the. I mean, I did this. I did this little hit when I was doing TV for the Pirates that we talked about how tall he was and the reason why he's so tall. Well, you got to bend over roughly 150 to 200 times a game, right? And if you're playing 162 or roughly 140, whatever, 150 out of 162, that's a lot of up downs, right? That's a lot of bending over, just the fact of being 6'7". So, I mean, I don't know. We don't know. And I think he's so athletic and so talented. You could put him about anywhere, to be honest with you, and be okay. But right now, I think for just let it play out. I think that's what they're trying to do, is letting it play out and see what they have, actually, because in a sense, it's not really hurting you all that bad. Yes, obviously those plays like last night were big plays, but he's so athletic, though, and he's got such a good arm, and he's so young. So, you know, I think for me, the easiest play would be to slide him over to third base, but then you look over to your right, and you got a Gold Glover over there, too. So
could he move to short?
Hard. Yeah, I mean, that would be the next – I've heard from a lot of people that he could do it. Key Brian Hayes can move over to short and play. So, but again, now you're talking about two guys starting over, kind of out of position, and then learning the ropes again. But you could always stick him in the corner outfield too, as well. I mean, he could play center field too, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I don't know. I think this is so unfamiliar to all of us because he's 6'7". I think that's the key.
Jordy, Neil said last night on our postgame show, he feels like the bad defense carries over to plate appearances because you mentioned trying to do too much. Now he makes two errors in a play. He wants to hit a 500-foot home run in the next at-bat. You mentioned he's young. How do you prevent the bad defensive lapses from compounding at the plate as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part, is you got to separate the defense from the offense, and that's the hardest part as a big leaguer. It is. I mean, because, you know, one play could almost ruin the game for you or ruin the game for your team, and then you want to go get it right back immediately. And then now you're tensing up, you're swinging harder, you're getting out of your comfort zone, the what makes you good. That's the biggest separator for me from necessarily a big leaguer to, a triple-A or a double-A guy is – you got to have that separation key of offense and defense. You know, defense is over. Now let's go hit. Let's stay within ourselves. Let's pass the baton on to the next guy. I mean, you can't hit, you know, however many you're down or whatever. You can't hit a solo shot that's going to score three or four runs or five runs or six runs, whatever it is, right? So you just got to continue to separate that. But again, like you said, it goes back with experience. It goes back, okay, that play is over. Let's worry about the next play. And then when the defense is over, let's worry about, you know, hitting and not recall what just happened. It's move on and look forward.
Jordy, Joe Block was beside himself calling the play on the radio side, but on the TV side, Greg Brown, Kevin Young, they were actually, I think Kevin was the one bringing it up more, but they were talking about crowd noise maybe contributing to confusion on the call there. How much of an issue, if it is one, is the noise of the crowd on a play like that where one guy's calling for it or trying to, and maybe the other guy's having trouble hearing?
Yeah, that's definitely an issue. I mean, you're going down the left field line in Houston. That bends over a little bit. There's not a lot of foul territory down the lines as you get toward the wall. So, yeah, I mean, I can see that definitely. And Houston usually – they usually get a lot of fans. They're always pretty decent. They're always pretty good. Obviously, they've been like that for a long time now. But, yeah, I mean, I can see that being an issue. But, again, you got to know your surroundings.
Right.
You got to know who's in left field. You got to – there's a whole bunch of things that, you know, how high the ball was. There's a lot of air time underneath it, things like that. And you got to remember, too, you're in Houston, right? It's a short porch.
So the left fielder's right on top of you.
That's
I would
right.
think you'd go
That's
over
right.
that before the series even started with everybody, Jordy, when you're –
That's right. But, again, that goes back to experience. I mean, that goes back to how many times has he played at that field, you don't know. That's the thing. So I think it's a learning curve for him. The mistakes are obviously are greater right now because he's so athletic and he gets a lot of stuff that a lot of people can't. But they're magnified, you know, and they're magnified obviously in a wild card race too as well.
Jordy, when the guy's struggling to the point where he's striking out nine times and committing five errors in a series, whose job is it to talk to him to kind of calm him down and get him to chill out? Because we've taken calls on this all day. Some people say Brian Reynolds. In that situation, who is the person that needs to be like, hey, just let out a sight, like, just come on, lock back in here, focus. Whose job is that?
Yeah, I think it's the veteran guys for sure. I mean, when I was going through it, I was the same thing. When make mistakes, you get that guy, the older guy that's been around, the slow heartbeat guy, the guy that's kind of been through it, right? You get that guy to put your arm around you, bring you over to the side and say, hey, man, like, let's go figure this out. Like, we're in the midst of the wild card race here. We know how talented you are. We know how good you are. You're here for a reason. And just play your game. Just go play your game and don't try to do too much. Just be you. And I think that's the biggest thing is I'm sure somebody probably talked to him, whether it be – I mean, there's a good opportunity for the assistant coaches too as well. I don't know if Shelty's going to do that just because he's managing the whole team. He might have a conversation with him, but that's more for, you know, the assistant coaches and the veterans on the team to put your arm around him and talk to him a little
bit.
How
about taking him out of the game there and saying, all right, just take the rest of the night off here and come back on Friday? What would have been your thought on that, Jordy?
I don't know. You got to be really careful with a young player about that to me. I mean, I think he learns by mistakes. That's going to make him a better player in the end when he makes mistakes like that. So you got to be really, really cautious about doing that to a young player because then that makes you nervous. That makes you not being able to yourself. You can't play freely. So I know there's probably, you know, pros and cons to both of those. But to me, I would just be like, you got to be very cautious with a young player on taking him out like that.
Jordy, for better or worse, I think some Pirates fans were kind of hoping he would get a talking to within range of the cameras. Derek Shelton pulls him aside and says, hey, like, basically, come on, like a little bit of an animated conversation. That didn't happen. Shelton, after the game, kind of said, hey, we've got to support the guy. Can you give us a little peek behind the curtain when Clint Hurdle, who was also a very player-friendly manager, guy would screw something up like that. He might say one thing in front of the cameras. How different was it behind the scenes? Like, is a guy like Cruz maybe actually getting a talking to after the game or getting something where Derek Shelton saying, this is unacceptable. You know, I know I backed you publicly, but you got to be better here. How often does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it does happen in certain situations. I think it's all going to be behind closed doors, though. I mean, I don't think a lot of people is going to know because a lot of people don't know what happens in the clubhouse, and I think that's the right way for me. You don't necessarily think you want to blow him up right then in that situation or in front of everybody where the cameras can see, because you know as soon as he comes in the dugout, the camera's going right on him because they want to know what's going to happen next, right?
Yep.
So I think you go down the tunnel – or you wait till after the game when everything calms down a little bit because you don't want to overreact, and then that's a good time to have a conversation.
Was
Hurdle
a
think
chew a guy out type?
Well, he's busy chewing gum, Pony.
Well, yeah, but would he chew somebody out?
I don't think he necessarily chewed anybody out, but he got your attention. I mean, There's no question about that. He was obviously loud. We all know how he was, but he wanted you to play the game the right way. I mean, that's the way he always approached it, and he would let you know though for sure. But he wouldn't necessarily do that right in front of everybody either. He'd wait till after the game or down the tunnel, you know, where it's you on him, one-on-one conversation, clear the air out a little bit.
Man, I'll never forget that one with Burnett when he came off the field because he wanted the defense, he wanted the shortstop in a different spot. I think was that Texas? That was unbelievable, Jordy.
Yeah, that was in the midst of the old school versus the new school, right? I mean, that went on quite a bit.
Were you caught in the middle of that?
I was caught in the middle of that a few times. Yeah. I mean, they told me where I played or where I needed to play basically. And then it was vice versa with AJ or some veteran guy on the mound. Cause it was straight up and straight up always, but
who did you trust
like
more?
Yeah. What do you do?
Did you trust Burnett more? Or did you trust the analytics?
Wow. What a,
I got to hit you with a hard question, Jordy. Here.
Listen, guys. Hey, listen, you got to do what's best for yourself, right? If it's whether it stays, you got to stay up in the big league at some point, right? So I'm saying, hey, I'm going to follow the organization, and then right. AJ can take it to either Skip or he can take it higher up if he wanted to.
Which I'm sure
and then
he
can
did.
Make adjustments from there. Hey, that's it. If you want to do that, we'll adjust off that for sure.
Hey, Jordy, thanks for doing this, man. He gave us a lot of good answers. We'll do it again soon, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. There you go, Jordy Mercer.
I can imagine AJ Burnett pitching adjustments to the front office on that.
Well, didn't we hear a story about how he just kept parking in Bob Nutting's spot?
I believe he did
games?
Do that. Yeah. I believe he did do that.
What a human.
I also remember, though, I have to be honest.
What do you have over there that you're eating? It looks like bird feed.
Like trail mix.
there's no good stuff in it,
though. Well, because all the good
stuff. Trail mix has the M&Ms and the raisins.
No. It's like it's the super healthy stuff. Oh. And then all these green, like, I guess, what, sunflowers, whatever they are, seeds, fell to the bottom. And that's why it looks like this. But no, I will say, I will be honest. I was pretty pro analytics back then. And I do remember taking management side against Burnett. And we've had some great conversations.
But that wasn't
with
the down
AJ,
the tunnel thing. That was Colonel got right up in his face.
No,
man.
I know. dude, that, why do you think Burnett is like a hero to Pirates fans even all these years later?
Donnie, you still like him?
Burnett? Love him.
Burnett has one of the all-time sort of, I would say, forgotten hits in Pirates history. In the McCutchen walk-off against St. Louis,
oh yeah,
they're getting rolled early in that game, and he just randomly cracks a home run out of nowhere.
I still say he's like a top five Pirate in my lifetime, and he played here for 3 years.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun. Oh, no, not yet. Donnie's got the debrief coming up next. What am I talking about? Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Here's a headline. It's 4:30, and that music means it's time for a Donnie football debrief brought to you by his friends at Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Don?
The debrief, August 1, 2024. Got a couple things for you today. Obviously, Hall of Fame game back tonight.
Malzie's
not
pumped.
Very excited about it. Football every Thursday from now until 2025.
What's there not to like about that?
It's mainly, the people breathlessly telling me that it's back. Oh my God, it's back. You didn't survive without it.
They don't want you to
forget, Malzie. Football, right? I'm not so much talking about you guys, but like the national,
yes,
the national football cognoscenti, man, no group of people who cover a sport is more proud to tell you how obsessed they are with that sport than that group. That's all. Like, did you not, like, if you were a person who goes, oh, we finally made it through all the, I know it's sometimes it's tongue-in-cheek, but for some of these people, it's not. So what did you do during the time without football? Were you, like, barely hanging on? Were you on the razor's edge of sanity? What are we talking about here?
I mean, it would be easier if they had, like, the NHL schedule. Then it's 11 and a half months.
That's the opposite. It's way too much.
I don't know.
Hockey.
The whole time I hear Chris saying this, the person that I, like, the human that he's lashing out at that I think of is that guy on McAfee's show who wears, like, the shirts with coyotes and wolves on them.
No, it's actually not him. It's more like the Albert Breer crowd.
Oh, wow.
It's more
Breer
like
catching
it,
a stray.
It's the Albert Breers of the world.
No, it's just the people like that. I mean, some of these people who do this are people we've had on the show and people that I like.
We've had Breer.
I know. Like, these are people whose work I think is good.
We've shared a moment with Breer.
God almighty. Like, I get it. You cover football and you're excited football's back. Keep it in your pants for 5 seconds here. What are we doing?
I think Breer tweeted Happy New Year.
See, that corny as hell.
He also tweeted, can we...
Why are you so damn corny?
See, technically, though, the new league year is like way back
March
in
March 13th or
he
whatever.
He also tweeted, can we elect whoever created the Chick-fil-A drive-thru system president?
Also, I saw that tweet. Stupid.
I think great take.
Well, I mean, I always thought that they should have had the Chick-fil-A people giving out the vaccine years ago.
Oh, that would have been military precision. They do, I mean, they do just go through it, though. They're rolling through.
Come on, Malsy. Give the Chick-fil-A people some props. They're not sponsors on the show, so we probably shouldn't give them many, but they are good at that.
They are very good at that. Ah, Breer, just come on. Stop being such a herb, Breer.
Something else, though. The Steelers, I thought, made a pretty smart move today. We haven't had a chance to really talk about it. We'll ask Ray about it, I'm sure, in about 40 minutes. They brought back Marcus Golden. Pony already speculating that this means one of those other edge rushers may be on the move. He thinks Brandon Ayuk saying his goodbyes to the 49ers.
Well, we all saw that video. It looked like he was in, like, Hugs Watch, when guys are hugging teammates and saying, I'll miss you. Like the Brian De La Cruz video
Hugs
that went
Watch
viral.
I thought Hugs Watch was making sure nobody was weaving in their car.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, it looked like a video of a guy saying, hey, thanks for the memories.
No, it didn't.
But I'm getting the hell out of here.
It looked like him dapping up Lynch. It didn't look
Disagree.
Anything like that. You had your hoe and your plow out, and you were engagement farming
Disagree,
to beat the
and
band.
Adam Crowley agrees with me, too.
Since when is that a good thing?
You always vouch for Crowley. We were leaving work yesterday, and you were raving about the talents of Adam Crowley.
But on the air, I make sure I crap all over him all the time. You never like being associated with Crowley's takes. You have a TRT, Total
yeah.
Request Thursday, option to vote for that's called Benedict Crowley.
Is he going to win?
No, it's getting killed.
I don't think so. So we can talk about it here if you want.
Yeah, I want to know why he's Benedict Crowley.
Well, because I was driving to drop off Stella today, and he announced a big event on the air. He teased to it, and I go, I want to hear this. He said, hey, check it out Saturday. I'll be at the Pete. With Pat Bostic and Doran, and it'll be a fundraising event for Pitt football.
Oh,
and I'm
so,
like,
yeah, he's going against WVU.
I'm like, if you are
yeah.
diehard West Virginia guy,
why are you
how
doing
do
a
you
fundraising
go
event?
Help the Pitt football program?
Yeah.
Like, I understand he has to walk a fine line of, I am a diehard West Virginia fan, and I am on the Pitt flagship station, and I don't want to piss off my bosses or a big partner. I don't want to get on Narduzzi's bad side, or I don't want to be a hated figure by the Pitt football program and everything else. And I don't want the listeners who are Pitt fans to want to punch me in the face. But having that tact and then crossing over to, I'm going to help make the Pitt football team better?
Yeah, there's some Benedict Crowley there, I won't lie.
I don't think he can really call himself a West... like.
But then again, you've coached the Pitt team in a spring football game.
But I've admitted that my school's football team sucks, and I don't even really look at them as a rival because they're so irrelevant.
So would you say you're more of a Pitt football fan than a Syracuse fan now?
Probably, because I work here and live here.
What about Pitt basketball? You've done the coaches versus cancer thing. Does that make you more of a Pitt fan?
I probably am, as a matter of fact.
Oh, then it looks like old Pot Kettle Black is happening again as Benedict Filipponi enters the chat.
Hold on. No, it's not, though, because no one has ever said, you know what, I just wish Pitt and Syracuse would play every year. I just wish these two schools, this intense rivalry that boils over where the fans hate each other, I just wish they played every season. That happens with the Backyard Brawl. That happens with Pitt and Penn State. It's a different dynamic. You have to admit that.
Yeah, it does. It is, I should say.
And now he's going to help the team that...
Maybe he's sick of Neil Brown. Maybe this is his, like, cry for help.
He should be happy with what he pulled off last year.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Chris? They had a good year last year.
I don't know. It doesn't mean he's not sick of him. It's college football, for God's sake.
I felt like Brown was on the hot seat for a while.
He was, actually, and then he did rally. Do you think he got pressured into this by Doran? The least he could do is make Doran finally get that West Virginia tattoo that he owes him.
They also said they have another wager where I'm sure Crowley will pay it off.
Yeah.
Because he is one of the few guys to do so here.
Doran owes him a West Virginia logo tattoo.
I mean, honestly,
that too will never be
if
had.
Adam wanted
I love Doran, that tattoo will never be on his body.
If Adam wanted to say, I'm from here, I have family that went to Pitt, I now happen to like Pitt more than West Virginia, even though I went to school there, you, Chris Mueller, would say, that's fine. I went to Penn State. I've always liked Pitt more. But it's this duplicity where he's trying to say, I'm the biggest West Virginia fan.
He's pulling a Chris Mack stunt. Mack used to do that with Pitt and Penn State.
He rooted for a good game.
I'm rooting for a great one.
Yes, but even then, Chris would not go to Pitt and say, let me help them get the things they need to beat school.
Okay, so what if Crowley is doing this just as an inside job here and he's going to sabotage the efforts?
That'd be a clever heel effort right there.
Well, but he can't, though, because of what I said before, the relationship with the station and Pitt football and
he's between a rock and a hard place. He really is.
No, he's not, and here's why. All he needed to say was, look, this is a Pitt event. Everyone identifies me with West Virginia. Probably not a great idea to have me there. I don't know how skilled I would be at getting people to donate money for Pitt. I think I'll sit this one out, and I think everyone would say, yes, that is a good idea.
Here's best of both worlds. Get a dunk tank. Have him wear his West Virginia shirt. He gets dunked over and over again at this fundraising event.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then he can satisfy, loyal to WVU,
but he's raising money for Pitt. Exactly.
How do you think Amanda feels about it as a fellow Mountaineer?
She texted him today about it.
Well, she's banned from the show, so she can't come on to talk about that. Actually, I think
she did just text me to say she ordered me Cracker Barrel.
The barrel?
Wow, that's a pretty good get.
Do they do business with us?
I don't believe so.
Well, they won't after this. Never been a fan.
Wow.
Never understood the appeal.
You don't like the old style country cooking?
The old home-cooked meal.
Come on, Chris.
If I wanted to indulge...
He doesn't like football being back and he hates a home-cooked meal.
Man, my gram used to just blow money in that little store they had.
If I wanted to eat a good old home-cooked meal, you know who'd make it? Me, in my home.
Yeah, but the best part about that is you don't have to go through the work and the cleanup. They just do it for you, and they treat you like you're at home.
If I go to a restaurant, I actually want to eat something that feels fancy like I couldn't cook it. I don't want that home-style stuff. They never do it as well.
Oh, my God.
Get your ass out of here with this home-style cooking and this countdown to football BS.
Oh, you make
BS.
Mashed potatoes and...
Yes!
Chicken? I don't want anything to do with your restaurant. Macaroni and cheese? Get out of here.
I only would trust Cracker
Comfort
Barrel.
Comfort Foods is your specialty. You suck.
I trust Cracker Barrel
I can make
with
that
breakfast,
myself.
And that's it. I trust them with breakfast.
You can make a steak that doesn't stop you from going out and getting steak other places.
Would you eat steak at Cracker Barrel?
That's not what they're known for.
I mean, they're known for probably Salisbury steak.
Chicken fried steak.
By the way, Malzy, 3 hours and 20 minutes until Hall of Fame game.
Just shut up.
Van Weather, you lost. You took an L there. Van Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, lowest 73 degrees. Is this a big night and big day for Steelers wide receiver trade rumors? I say yes, and it's not just Ayuk. I'll tell you what else that means next. Chris will hate it because it might involve the game tonight. Here until 6, then Donnie has an Ernie Banks in store for you. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. It's the PM team.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.